anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We are on a Tuesday edition, and we had a jam-packed show yesterday, recapping the state wrestling tournament, talking with Steve Supple of the Lincoln Journal-Star about Patrick Witt and Mike Eckler. And now, Tony, we've got another, a product of all the blogs and all the internet chat boards, and another Nebraska football story with David Oku enrolling at Lincoln East. Now, who's David Oku? Well, he's only one of the top athletes and the number one rated all-purpose running back in the country by Rivals.com. This is just a strange, strange story, and it's strange because people don't understand it, and you just look at it on the surface. And we'll talk with Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald about that. We'll also ask him about a couple of other things. And, of course, Husker Baseball has their home opener tomorrow. Actually, it's supposed to be a beautiful day today and tomorrow. And so we'll talk to Mitch about that. Gene Beerbohm's going to join us in studio here in just a couple of moments. Going to talk a little turkey, and we're going to talk with Gene about that. But this whole David Oku thing, Tony, this, again, 5 years ago, ten years ago for sure, this wouldn't have even been much of a story, or if it was a story at all. But a kid who is ranked the number one all-purpose running back by Rivals.com out of Midwest City, Oklahoma, is now transferring with 3 months to go in his senior season to Lincoln East High School, supposedly because he's got a girlfriend in Lincoln that he met on a recruiting visit.
For the Virginia Tech game here.
Nod, nod, wink, wink. Which makes me wonder, is it a college girl? Is it a high school girl? How did he meet this girl? His parents are okay with this? Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, my senior son in high school. Why don't you move two states away 3 months before high school graduation, still not declaring where you're going to go to college, to hang out with some girl we don't know?
Well, especially to a wow. town that it's not one of the schools that seem to be interested in you. Well, I mean, the recruiting battle seems to be in the SEC.
He's not interested in Nebraska,
well,
supposedly. His choices are down, supposedly, to Tennessee, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Syracuse. If he is this head over heels for a girlfriend, he ain't going to those schools. If you are moving, why would you move to Lincoln for, what would it be, five months max? 5 months max before he would go to a school for summer.
I've got to say 3 months max because they want you on campus. I mean,
well, you're going to go when you want to go, but you know most of that stuff happens when you graduate and you take off in June. And if you're a freshman, I mean, that's whatever. Whenever you go, you go. But weird, the whole thing, weird.
And Mitch Sherman in his article today, comparing it to the Bryce Brown situation out of Wichita, who came to live or didn't live. He came to Omaha to be with an uncle for a couple weeks vacation to get away. The scrutiny and I guess the hype on these kids, especially when you're ranked, must be apparently a little bit of it is to clear his head as well. Which, if that's the case, it makes you wonder about the recruiting, not only from the schools, but the media attention on these kids.
Wonder what the coaches of these programs are thinking right now. We're still trying to get this kid, and all of a sudden he ups and moves to Nebraska. At least they only have to worry about one school going after him in Nebraska. It's not like he's going to California or Texas or somewhere where there's a ton of Division I schools that could be at least, from another coach's mind, maybe trying to get involved in the mix.
You know, you call that number that you've been calling for the last 3 years. This number is no longer in service. What? Oh, yeah, he's in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's what the operator tells you.
So we'll talk with Mitch Sherman about that. We'll look back at what's going on with the Lopers, the Huskers, and the Hastings Broncos. We're going to give you a chance to win on this Troutman's Tuesday trivia. We're also going to give you a chance to win a set of four to the hockey game tonight. The Tri-City Storm is home, trying to make it two in a row after beating Omaha. And we'll give away some tickets to the Royal Lipizzaners, which are at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island on Thursday. Sub-district basketball started last night. We'll be talking a little bit about that because it keeps very busy. And, Daddy, the Nebraska men's basketball team is in action tonight against Texas A&M with Doug Gottlieb courtside.
Is that still a story for people? I mean, I think everybody still remembers it.
It'll be a story for the students.
He acted like a punk, Cookie Miller at a time versus Kansas. I think everybody else is still just basically looking for the Huskers to get that home win that they think they so desperately need or have to have if there's going to be any opportunity to make a run in that tournament and perhaps have an opportunity at the end of the year for that berth. I think Doug Gottlieb and Doc Sadler both be beyond that. The students may have a little bit of fun with it, but overall, I say a non-story. I will say that Doug Gottlieb, and he is paid to make opinions. That's fair. But on Saturday late afternoon, Doug Gottlieb said, Roy Williams substituted too much, thus costing his team the game. And when you make statements like that, I actually looked at a buddy of mine and go, who is Doug Gottlieb to criticize Roy Williams? I mean, in the big scheme of things, I think Roy Williams knows what he's doing. I don't like to see people go out and trash coaches of that magnitude. And, you know, okay, that's your opinion. That's fine. I think it came down to more of Maryland making some great shots down the stretch versus North Carolina than it ever did about who was in the game for North Carolina and who wasn't. But nonetheless, he will be courtside tonight.
Phone lines are open, 1-888-455-ESPN, or you can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. But right now, we welcome live into our Doug and Daddy studios, Gene Beerbaum with the National Wild Turkey Federation, as they've got a big banquet and auction coming up this weekend. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I feel guilty coming here talking about a turkey banquet when you got all this exciting Husker news going on.
That's okay, because we have an outdoor segment today. I classify this as an outdoor segment because Daddy also, you know, he's been big coming off the Bassmasters this weekend and his fantasy fishing. Did you check that out? Not good?
It can't be good. I don't even think three of the people made the qualified in the top 25, so no, it's bad.
And you didn't take Mike Ekanakinuki?
No, I did not take Mike.
Yeah,
what the hell's his name?
Nice job. I thought it was
Skeet Reese and Mike Iaconelli.
Iaconelli, there you go.
They're probably catching crappie instead of bass.
it was actually, one of those deals where the water down there, it's so much different here because it's just starting to warm up there. And to fish like they were there will take us another roughly 3 months to get those temperatures warmed up where that water was. Shreveport.
Now, Gene, tell me. Let's start off here, okay? Until you called me and said, hey, we've got this going on, I had no idea that we had a national.
You get one permit per hunter, but for some reason, the turkey has just really been multiplying quite well. And the thing we try to look at, too, there was a time in Nebraska that pheasants were that way. And, now, if you're a hunter, the pheasant population has been down the last few years. Pheasants Forever is working good, and they're improving the habitat there, and they're coming back a little bit. But you just never want to take wildlife for granted, whatever what it is. It doesn't make any difference. It's just you don't take it for granted, and you try to manage it, and that's what, the game and parks, obviously, they're doing the best they can there. And we try to provide money by our fundraising banquets to do that. Last year, the NWTF gave Nebraska just under $64,000. This year it's going to be up to $79,000 to work in wildlife management. But also one of the things, we're given $6,000 to purchase an additional 4-H shooting trailer. Again, we're working with 4-H clubs and youth. We have youth mentor hunts all across the state of Nebraska. I mean, we got around 30 chapters in the state of Nebraska as far as the NWTF. Holdridge has a chapter, Arapahoe, Grand Island, St. Paul, Broken Bow. I mean, they're all over, but we raise this money and try to give it back to the state and try to promote, if you will, safety, especially with youth. Having a youth mentor hunt and taking kids out that maybe don't have a chance to get out because maybe the parents don't hunt, and so we try to help in that way. But 4-H is a sponsoring the 4-H shooting clubs, and helping with that is another way. The NWTF is the only organization that, to my recollection, is it has a women's group called Women in the Outdoors, so they can do their thing as ladies want to maybe do different things than men. We also have Wheeland for Sportsmen, which is a kind of an SUV thing, but it also helps with the handicap people who would like to hunt and don't have that opportunity, and trying to get handicap hunters out. So there's a lot of different offshoots of the National Wild Turkey Federation and trying to go different directions.
Gene, if I gather this correctly, this is a national federation with state chapters underneath it. So
right.
The money raised goes nationally, and then they distribute it back to the states.
Yeah, some of it does, yeah. I mean, some of it goes direct to the national organization, and then they redistribute it back. And I don't know what the percentages are. You know, we like to feel that a good share of it does come back into the state. We get to keep some locally and use it for our youth mentor hunts in this area if we want. Now we haven't done it in Kearney. We're working on it. We're a small committee, and we're trying to get more people involved because we have money available to us to give out scholarships to high school seniors even. So, again, we're not just all about hunting, if you will. I mean, there's other things involved. And so, you know, we're just trying to get the chapter built up and to distribute some money back in different ways than in hunting.
Gene Bierbaum is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're talking about the National Wild Turkey Federation. And I guess, obviously, this week we've got a big event going on. Tell us about that.
Well, the banquet's Saturday evening, February 28th, at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Extension Building. This is a smaller green one on the south side off of 34th Street. And doors open at 5. Dinner or supper, if you will, is at 7.
Supper.
I like it, yeah.
Okay. But,
whatever it is, as long as it's
depends
food.
Depends on if you're the south or the north. But there will be silent auctions going on. There's going to be raffles going on where you can buy tickets for. We have 9 guns to either give away, auction, or raffle it off, if you will. And, of course, the live auction is what you were looking at there in the core package book. It's all kinds. It's prints. And they're well-known artists. You got Terry Redlands in there, Thomas Kincaid's, and several others. We have just unique items like the chairs, the feathers that are painted on. I mean, just things that you could – obviously, if your home's got to be kind of decorated a little bit outdoors type to make some of this furniture fit that you can buy in that. But one or two things that are on the auction that aren't in the book, because we get things – from our members. We have a member, Bob Anderson, has connections with the gentleman who runs Husker, not Huskers.com, but the other. I'm drawing a mental blank.
You're all right.
There's so many Husker things.
Yeah, but anyhow, he got us 2 footballs. One of them is autographed by Tom Osborne and Bo Pelini on that one. And then the other one, maybe the old-time Husker fans, Dave Hum and Vince Ferragamo autographed that. So that's kind of neat. And,
you remember those guys, right, Tony?
I do remember those guys. I've read about them.
I think it's Husker Illustrated.
Could
Does that
be.
Sound right?
Could be.
Boy, Bob, I hope he's... Forgive me for messing this one up. But
I'm just looking at the National Wild Turkey Federation Gun of the Year, which you will auction one of those off. And they've been going for it's just one of those nice collector's items for people out
right.
there. Maybe they're new to the Turkey Federation, but people have been around to Ducks Unlimited, to Pheasants Forever. It much resembles one of those banquets. You guys
right.
are just trying to grow it, if I understand right.
Right, right. And and one other thing that we are going to give away in one shape or another is a lifetime youth hunting permit. So our chapter is buying that and in conjunction with, again, Game and Parks, Nebraska there. And so we'll be giving away a youth lifetime hunting permit, which is kind of neat.
Gene, if they want more information, say maybe they can't make it to the event this weekend, how can they find out more? Who do they contact? Is there a website? What all goes along with that?
Well, yeah, the website is just nwtf.org, National Wild Turkey Federation, those initials, nwtf.org. And you can find local banquets all over the United States by going on that site. They're called Heritage Hunting Banquets, and that's one way of finding it. If they want something local here, they could call me at 236-5322. If they can't get a hold of me, we have Shannon. His phone number is 380-5867. And Roger Anderson. There's several Roger Andersons in Kearney, but this one is 440-3555. And Roger's the one that got the footballs for us. So we got some different things, and it's a lot of fun. Usually we're over by 9:30, so it's not a late evening, maybe 10 at the very latest. And it's a lot of fun, and good chance to buy some neat things if you want, or just come and enjoy the evening and have fun with some friends.
Good meal.
Yeah, prime rib or chicken breast, I think we're going to have some.
No wild turkey?
We had that one time, but people, I don't know why, but if it's a beef steak here, people still like to eat that prime rib at it. So, we have had turkey in the past, but we better stick with what we know people really like. Beef or chicken is safe.
Gene, anything else the folks need to know about the banquet or the association that you'd like to share with them?
Well, I can't think of anything right off the top of my head. I'm sure when I drive away here, I'll think of a lot of things, but... Again, just thank you for having us here and promoting our cause. And anybody like to come, we're sure like to know soon, because we do have to, we cook all this, and having a head count really helps. So that we'd appreciate that.
Well, it's coming up this Saturday night, the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Extension Building. It's the local chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation. And Gene Beerbaum's been with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Gene, anytime. Thanks for coming in and letting
you.
The folks know.
All right. Thanks.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But as we go to break, what do you want to give away? Liposonner tickets? I think that's a good idea. Horses, they're outside, right, Tony? Except these are going to be inside at the Heartland Events Center.
There you go.
Gene sneaking in here. Let's give away a pair of tickets to the Liposonners. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's just give them away to caller number 4. 1-888-455-ESPN. Caller 4, you'll get a pair of tickets to the world-famous Liposonner Stallions, and we're back with more, including Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Please turn your head and cough.
Very few things in life are more uncomfortable.
It was an exceptional camper sale, and now guess what? Trade-ins. We took a whole bunch of exceptional trade-ins, and now Jim says too many used on the lot at Eagle Crest. We need to have a used camper sale, and these are really nice units, too, like this 95 fold-down priced at $3,300, or a 97 Mallard travel trailer, only $9,500, or a 2001 Wilderness fifth wheel, $15,500. They gotta go. That's why we're having a super huge used camper sale today on West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
For generations, Kearney Creed and Block and Christensen Concrete Products has been supplying Kearney and Grand Island with quality concrete and masonry needs. We are the experts on masonry and concrete products in the region. With over 140 years combined experience at our two locations, we're particular about who we deal with and what products we sell. Expect a high level of customer service at both our locations. Kearney Creed and Block and Christensen Concrete Products. Building generations, one block at a time.
Source Gas Ag customers, sign up now with Source Gas Energy Services. We offer CIG, Panhandle, and NYMEX pricing with triggers to lock in your rate at a later date. Other suppliers may not tell you the whole story, but at SGES, we believe the more information you have, the better decision you can make. Call Source Gas Energy Services today to find the best price option for your operation at 1-800-413-1966.
Remember when life was simple? Well, sure, times have changed. So you try to make your life easier. What's unexpected is you'll get that help from a bank. At Platte Valley State Bank, we understand our customers' lives. That's why we offer simple checking products, online banking with bill pay, extended hours, and phone banking, just to name a few. We know the more complicated life becomes, the more you'll appreciate banking with us. At Platte Valley State Bank, we are your financial center. Member FDIC.
When the weather forecasters say partly cloudy and you have to blow 10 inches of that stuff out of the driveway, you might want to click on ESPNSuperstation.com to find out what other plans have been changed. Click the Weather Threat button, brought to you by Fidelity Heating and Air of Kearney. Remember, even when the weather stops you, nothing stops a train.
February 24th is Fat Tuesday at the Storm Game, presented by KHAS-TV. Watch the Storm battle the in-state rival Lincoln Stars. Enjoy Storm hockey with a Mardi Gras flavor, plus it's $2 beer night. That's right, $2 beers all night long. Join the Fat Tuesday celebration this Tuesday, February 24th. For tickets, call 308-338-8011 or log on to stormhockey.com. Storm hockey, presented by Viero.
We'll see partly to mostly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature of around 63. Winds will also stay variable from 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies at a low at 31, and highs rebound back near 60 Wednesday with a mix of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley. Right now, 48.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Scheduled to join us on the program tomorrow, ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi, who nailed all 65 teams in the NCAA tournament with his announcement about a half hour before the regular announcement last year. And, of course, you can catch things on ESPN.com with bracketology each and every day. And, of course, updating it more and more as they get closer to the selection Sunday. Coming up tomorrow, he is scheduled to join us here on the program. Also tomorrow, the Accenture World Match Play is going to be teeing off. Tiger Woods is in it. Go to our website and vote on the Sun Heat Hot Topic poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. How do you think Tiger's going to do, Daddy? How do you think Tiger's going to do?
I don't think he would have came back if he thought he wasn't playing at a very, very high level. I think he'll advance. I don't know if he'll win the deal like he normally does, but I find it interesting that three of the last six people that have beat him in match play have all been Australians, such as, that's right, Brendan Jones, whoever he is. So he's Australian. Does that give him a chance? Probably not versus Tiger, but, you know, I think he's going to advance. All the, you know, I don't think he can win it.
How do you, I mean, you look at some of these matchups, and it's fun, and, you know, it's an NCAA tournament bracket, and it's finished in so quick a time here, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to keep an eye on. But you look at some of these guys, and you look where they are, and supposedly this is the top 64 players in the world. If somebody drops out, you slide down to 65. But Davis Love III is a 15 seed, which means he's between, you know, 58 and 61. Angel Cabrera, who just won the U.S. Open 2 years ago, he's a 15 seed. He's taking on Phil Mickelson in the first round. See, Cabrera and Mickelson should be playing on some course where nobody knows they're playing, slamming down whatever they're slamming and getting some heaters in there for Cabrera yeah, as he's walking down. Now, that could be a fun matchup. But you look at, you hear of some of these guys, and then some of these guys, you just go, what? And then they end up being guys that, you know, end up tearing up the course that you never, like this. Who is A. Quiros? He's a 7 seed, taking on Stephen Ames in the Gary Player bracket. Quiros, never heard of him in my life, from Spain.
Win Tang from Thailand.
He did pretty well last week or 2 weeks ago on the Japanese tour, China tour, whatever they show on the mornings in the Golf Channel. But you look at some of these, and then you see Davis Love's below them. You see, you know, Cabrera's below them. You see a lot of names, as I'm just scanning here, that are well-known.
Stern from South Africa taking on Sink.
You know, even Badly. Aaron Badley is way below this Quiros guy from Spain. Huh? Boo Weekly is a 13 seed. You know, you just look at this and you go, Katayama, the guy with the weird hat, Shingo, he's lower than these guys that you've never heard of. Rory Sabatini, who didn't play maybe out the world last year, but the year before was pretty hot. You know, I guess it just depends where you're at in the world and how you're doing, because there seems to be no real rhyme or reason to some of this.
Doug, is it going to be a well-known player that wins this, or somebody unknown? And when I say unknown, I mean...
I'm going to go well-known. Well-known, because unknown might ripple the water a little bit, but unknown hardly ever makes a run. The first or the second year when they had the 59 and the 62 seed or whatever, I think that was when Sutherland went all the way through. You know, even there, if they're Americans, you're kind of at least probably heard of them. Now, I'll say that's the story. And let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. Hey, you two cuddly wannabes. Just wanted your take on Tiger's return this week to the PGA. The hype is really growing, and I believe golf enthusiasts are anxious to see how he plays. Is he going to use this as a prep tournament and just wants to complete a couple of competitive rounds, or is he going to go for the jugular on his competition? I personally think he's going to dominate and destroy everyone this year. That's from the mailman. So what do you think? I've got my prediction.
You know what? You hear about this shot Tiger supposedly has where he can control this driver. And people say if he uses that shot, the rest of them will be playing for second in every tournament. And people that are very close to him say that we will be playing for second because he will not be out of the fairway. If that's the case, I don't think that's Tiger. I think he wants to wrap it around him and take a cut at it and see where he can go and see what he can do. And I think he still feels he can get up and down from not being dead in the center of the fairway, whether he's over in the cabbage or not.
Well, he's got it. So your thoughts are?
Well, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win two majors at least.
Well, what do you think he's going to do this week?
I think he's probably a quarterfinalist. You can't just step up and immediately compete, can you, against
these
guys?
See, I think that's the deal. When Tiger gets out of that first or second round, he goes all the way. He goes all the way to Saturday and Sunday. If he doesn't, you know, there's no middle ground. And I think he's in trouble. I think he has got a tough, tough bracket. You look at if he gets out of the first round against this Australian, if there's any rust here and this guy gets out to any kind of a decent lead and can just hang on, because Tiger has struggled. Even a couple times he's had to come from behind in the first round to win. Even if he gets through that, he'll take on either Tim Clark or Retief Goosen in the next round. And Goosen,
how long has it been since he's been a two seed?
Yeah, but, well, he's not. He's an 8-9.
I know, but you don't have to go very far back, and he was right up there at the top of the world rankings.
Goosen seems to have started the year off okay. Tim Clark played well last week. He's always pretty good at these kind of events. If he happens to get to the third round, you're looking at a Mike Weir, a Hunter Mahan, even this young phenom Roy McIlroy coming over from Northern Ireland. If he gets to Saturday, I think he can win the whole thing. I think he wins it if he gets to Saturday. I know that might be considered a little flip-flop, but my gut says he doesn't get to Friday.
On his side of the bracket, Geoff Ogilvy and Viegas right there for him, the 2 and 3 seeds, if you're wondering out there.
Yeah, and so that all gets underway tomorrow. The Golf Channel has coverage of it. Here's another thing. Golf Channel. So you're going to show me coverage tomorrow from 2 to 6 Eastern. So that's 1 to 5. You're the Golf Channel. What else do you have to show but this tournament, you morons? Limited coverage. It's like I'm watching the Masters. I get 4 hours of live golf, 24-hour-a-day golf. That's all you have. This is one of the events that you can dominate and show the whole thing from start to finish, and I get 4 hours with a repeat later in the night? You're the Golf Channel. You show more coverage of a regular tournament with hacks in it on the weekend. You're the Golf Channel. You show golf. Why wouldn't you show every waking minute of live golf you could possibly show? You need help? We'll come out and man the tower for a couple hours. You are the Golf Channel.
Who did Tiger knock out? Has anybody heard? Fair enough. Schwartzel's a 16 seed. Obviously, somebody, when Tiger chose to play, somebody got bumped out of that 64 spot, and I don't know who that is. If you do, we'd appreciate it. 1-888-455-3.
They had no shot anyway, so.
Now you say that until, who would you say was the 15th Sutherland?
Imagine this, Tiger's tee time tomorrow is 1:02 Central Time. What time does coverage start on the Golf Channel? 1:00 Central Time.
So it'll be over at 5 o'clock, and they'll recap that for the next 4 hours.
Words you can't say on the radio. We're taking a break, but as we go into break, it's time to give away a family four-pack of Tri-City Storm hockey tickets to tonight's game against Lincoln. Face-off is set for 8:05 at the First Tier Event Center. And here is your trivia question. The Storm is coming off a 4-3 win against Omaha on Saturday. How many saves did goaltender T.J. Massey have? How many saves did Tri-City Storm goaltender T.J. Massey have in Saturday's win? 1-888-455-ESPN. When we come back, Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Our transmitter actually contains parts of the Chernobyl reactor. It hasn't affected us yet.
It's Colin Coward, host of The Herd. Life's unpredictable. That's why you have car insurance, homeowner's insurance. But what if something happens to your computer? You'd lose everything. Files, documents, everything gone. What a nightmare. You need to get Carbonite today. It backs up your computer instantly. And it's inexpensive. Less than $5 a month and provides important peace of mind. I use Carbonite for my small business. It's easy. There's no complicated hardware to install. It backs up your computer constantly and instantly whenever you're connected to the internet. Right now, I've got a special offer just for my listeners. Try Carbonite free for 15 days. No credit card required. Plus, you'll get 2 months free with any subscription. But the special offer, you got to use the offer code Colin. Don't wait. I want you to try Carbonite free today. Go to Carbonite.com before you do anything else. Enter the offer code Colin. That's Carbonite.com. And remember to enter the offer code Colin. Avoid a potential disaster losing every file. Carbonite.com.
February 24th is Fat Tuesday at the Storm Game, presented by KHAS-TV. Watch the Storm battle the in-state rival Lincoln Stars. Enjoy Storm hockey with a Mardi Gras flavor, plus it's $2 beer night. That's right, $2 beers all night long. Join the Fat Tuesday celebration this Tuesday, February 24th. For tickets, call 308-338-8011 or log on to stormhockey.com. Storm hockey, presented by The Arrow. This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. 22. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
We'll see partly to mostly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature of around 63. Winds will also stay variable from 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies at a low at 31, and highs rebound back near 60 Wednesday with a mix of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley. Right now, 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Well, we've given away a few things today. A, let's start with the Lipizzaner Stallion tickets. Derek, who won those?
I put his name back here somewhere. I can't remember his name. He was from Grand Island, I know that much. Matt, I think? Mike? One of the, it was an M name. He's getting tickets regardless, so.
Jeff won the hockey tickets.
Jeff did win.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I already gave the information to Melissa out there so she could get the tickets to him. See, I'm going to go get her.
Now the hockey tickets.
I'm going to go get her. Jeff from Kearney.
Knew that 48 was the number of saves TJ Massey had.
Plethora.
Out of 51 shots. Good clip there.
I'll tell you what, it is a great, great day the next couple of days. And then it goes like from beautiful tomorrow to ice storm on Thursday. The great ice storm of 2009. Can't wait. But today is a great day with the weather forecast predicting low 60s and maybe even nicer the farther west you go. And you know what's west of here? Metal Arc Hills. That's right, Metal Arc Hills Golf Course. Weather is great, so book your tee time now by calling the golf shop at Metal Arc Hills at 233-3265. They're ready to go. All that snow, it's only made it a little bit greener out there. It's only cheated spring a little bit. Why wouldn't you cheat spring? Nice job. Daddy's filling out his Accenture match play bracket. I said nice. Tiger Woods would lose early, so what does he do? Takes my pick and puts it right over there.
You're such a copycat. You said earlier that you had Tiger advancing a couple rounds.
Yeah. He's going to the quarters, and he's got him out in the second round. Oh, there you go. But anyway, maybe we'll find... Well, maybe you're filling out 8 brackets. I don't know. You're such a tool. You're such a tool. Get in the golf mood, folks, by getting the clubs out, hitting the practice range, hitting the golf course. A lot of folks are going to hopefully enjoy today and tomorrow. Some great weather both days. So if you get a chance to, give them a call at Metal Arc Hills and see what you can do with a little golf game, because good Lord knows I need the practice. Metal Arc Hills, 233-3265, 233-3265. Well, Daddy, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, usually not a whole lot of football talk. Between the end of the bowl game, from signing day till spring ball gets going, but
surprise,
yeah, we got. It's not one story, it's not two stories, it's not three stories. We've talked about it yesterday, and now we've got another one to go on. Some highly touted back that only the real internet blogging geeks really keep an eye on. Did you know anything about this kid?
No, I got to be honest. After signing day, I kind of dropped my focus from that and looked ahead towards spring football. I did not, but I'm sure Mitch Sherman had his eye on him, and Mitch joins us right now from the Omaha World Herald. Thanks so much for the time, Mitch. And were you still following this kid at all since signing day?
Yeah, well, thanks for calling me a geek there in the intro, but I was not. I try to cleanse myself of recruiting too after the signing day comes. But I knew about him back from when he visited for the Virginia Tech game, and I remember seeing him on the sidelines, and he looked like a good player. And from what everybody said, he was one of the nation's best running backs. So, kind of kept my eye on him a little bit through the recruiting process. And there was one point where he was supposed to hold a live press conference on the internet that was staged by the Daily Oklahoman newspaper in Oklahoma City. He was going to announce his decision between Tennessee and Nebraska and Auburn, and I forget who else, and he canceled on that at the last minute, so I'm sure the Oklahoman was real pleased with that after they promoted it for several days. But I think at that point it was kind of established that you weren't going to know what the situation was with David Oku until signing day, when he signed a letter of intent like 99.9% of all other major prospects with the college on that day. But that day came and went, and Nebraska seemingly had long been out of the picture for David. They went out and recruited Rex Burkhead from Plano, Texas, who was also a very, very highly rated back, to go along with Dontrevious Robinson, who was a commit way back last spring, also out of the Dallas area. So running backs seemingly were done for the Huskers, and I think they still are, but in an unusual development, David Oku apparently met a girl on his visit. Imagine that. He met a girl on his recruiting visit in September, and I don't know if they fell in love or what the situation is, but he moved up here and is attending Lincoln East, as if that's not a very strange thing. He says it's a better school and it's going to prepare him for college, and I'm not quite sure how Lincoln East can do that with 3 months of his high school lifetime left. But he's living in Lincoln for whatever the reason, and gets to be close to his college age girlfriend, and I'm sure it seems a little bit strange, but apparently Nebraska is not back in the recruiting picture for David Oku, even though you really have to wonder if he's going to go, put himself at their doorstep. And if he does that, he might be a difficult guy to turn away.
Mitch, I've got to ask, do we know – I just can't – following this deal, does he move with anybody? Do we know who he moved with? Does an 18-year-old kid just pick up and move to Lincoln? How does this work?
Apparently he just picks up and moves to Lincoln as if he's 25 years old. I don't know. You know, I don't claim to know the kid. I've seen him one time on the sidelines in September, and, I've read a few things that he said. I don't know. It's unclear where he's living. I don't know how he would be able to get an apartment by himself or a place of residence. But maybe there doesn't seem to be an adult who moved here with him to answer your question. Very, very unusual. And, recruiting, you can say this isn't about recruiting, that it's about a girl or it's about, finding a better high school, which doesn't seem to make sense. But it is about recruiting, because he never would be here in the first place if he hadn't come in September. And it's not a coincidence that all of a sudden he ends up in Lincoln, Nebraska. I mean, it's not like this, Billings, Montana or something, and he just was searching out a top high school, and, oh, there's Lincoln East. Looks like a great – I'm sure Lincoln East is a very good school, and not to take anything away from that, but kids don't move with 3 months left in their senior years to attend it from Oklahoma in order to help further their college education.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk Nebraska football. I'm not sure if this is talking Nebraska football, but David Okwu. So is this story pretty much then done, Mitch? I mean, this is just kind of a point of interest for today's talk, and we're kind of really – we'll probably never hear about this kid again?
Well, on a national level, it's not done, because he still has to sign somewhere. You know, you've got Tennessee and Auburn and Ole Miss. It's like an SEC battleground. I guess I wouldn't be all that shocked to see a Lane Kiffin or somebody show up in Lincoln to talk to this kid. For our interest, I guess it's essentially done, unless he says he goes to Nebraska and tells them he wants to come, and the Huskers express some kind of reciprocal interest. Now, there has been no indication so far that Nebraska is interested in continuing to recruit him. They would have gladly taken him in October, but in February or March, I think that's a different story. There is still the fact out there that he is one of the best high school running backs in the country. And if he wants to come to your school, that may be a difficult thing to turn down. He doesn't seem to be, a kid who's in trouble with the law or has any character issues other than this strange decision of where he's going to finish his high school career. So I'm not going to go out and say he's a bad kid and they want to avoid him, but their recruiting class finished, and the running backs are done. They seem to be done recruiting running backs, so I don't expect anything else to happen, but it is recruiting, and odd things happen, as we all know, and I wouldn't completely shut the door on the possibility that Nebraska could get back in.
It would only be a strange thing if he was sitting behind the Nebraska dugout at the North Dakota game tomorrow. Mitch, let's move on. It sounds like Mike Eckler, he interviewed at South Florida, but really probably not going to get that job.
I wouldn't think so with 1 year of experience as a full-time assistant. Mike didn't necessarily get a chance to prove himself a lot on the field as a football coach last season because he was so strapped as a linebacker coach. You can't really look at that body of work that the Nebraska linebackers produced and credit this to Mike Eckler or take this and hold it against Mike Eckler. He told me a couple of months ago that this year was a great experience, but it's not something that you're going to be able to put in the collection of his achievements as a coach, because there were players injured. The cupboard was pretty bare to begin with. So I don't know. Jim Leavitt, the coach at South Florida, and choosing to interview Mike, I'm sure he's impressed with what Eckler has done on the recruiting trail for Nebraska, and there's no denying that what his work in Texas was impressive, and that he's an enthusiastic guy. He appeals to kids. He appeals to recruits. Probably a fun guy to play for. But I think the connection between him and Leavitt also goes back to Eckler's days at Kansas State as a player when Leavitt was an assistant on Bill Snyder's staff. So there's a familiarity there. But like you said, I wouldn't expect this thing to turn into a job for him as a coordinator at this at this early stage of his full-time assistant coaching career.
Omaha World Herald's Mitch Sherman joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, obviously the Patrick Witt situation is big news yesterday. Are we kind of getting away from that? But I want to get your thoughts. What was his relationship, to your knowledge, from his teammates with him? And then the timing of this deal. I think it's fine if he goes through spring ball and he's losing a grip on that. But why wouldn't he compete and commit through the spring and see this deal through?
Yeah, that's a great question. To my knowledge, there weren't big problems in his relationship with his teammates. But my observations are kind of cut off at the end of the season. You know, I'm around these guys on a somewhat regular basis as they practice throughout the season. And then, you know, during the bowl practice time, we see them a little bit less. And then, of course, you know, in January and February when they're in winter conditioning, there's not a lot of availability to the media. So the times that I've seen Patrick interact with his teammates all through the 2007 season as he redshirted, and then in 2008 when he was the backup to Joe Gans, you know, things seem to be okay. He's not the most outgoing, friendly, you know, I'm going to pat you on the back as I go by type of teammate, but he's very intelligent. I think he had their respect. I think he commanded the huddle, and that's what some of his receivers and other teammates have told me, is that he had players' respect when he was in the huddle calling out the plays. I never sensed a great deal of animosity, like it was him against the world, and you know he was just waiting for his opportunity to leave this place. You know, things very well may have changed after the bowl game. I don't know really what went down, but it seems that something so dramatic happened in just these last few days that it caused him to say, "That's enough. I'm out of here." And it wasn't a deal where he was kicked off the team. This was his decision and his family's decision for him to leave. And I don't really know what's at the root of it. You know, one can only speculate that he was not happy with the way things were headed with this quarterback race, because that was where his focus was. Once that Gator Bowl was over, his focus was on winning that quarterback job. And I don't know what kind of signs he saw, what kind of direction the Nebraska offense may be headed. I don't know of any dramatic shifts that go away from his talent level. This is all just speculation, but that's really all we're left to do right now, because there aren't any great answers out there about why this happened now and why he didn't at least wait to see how things went in spring practice. I mean, if he wanted to leave and didn't think it was going to work out for him, there wouldn't have been anything negative for him to hold on and just see how it went in spring practice. I mean, maybe he outperformed Zach Lee by a mile, and it's not even close that he's a starter and everything's great, even if it didn't seem great in February. So, you know, I don't know. I'm at a loss, and it's really a puzzling thing.
I just hope Zach doesn't get any kind of injury, because then it really takes a look at things. Well, Mitch, we can't let you get out of here without throwing you one question. Nebraska baseball season underway. How fired up are you? And I know it's just one series from the weekend, but just your thoughts as Nebraska baseball gets underway.
I'm fired up to sit in some 60-degree weather under the sunshine tomorrow and watch it in February. That doesn't happen too often.
We love it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to feel like April out there. I'm sure in March it'll feel like January, so don't get used to it. But they seem to, you know, show some real character down there in Louisiana last weekend. You know, it was a deal where a lot of things were going against them. There was some questionable umpiring. You know, I wasn't there to see it, so I can't tell you if they were bad calls. But Mike Anderson was not happy with a few different things that happened on field. I mean, he felt like the 15-inning game should have been over in 10 innings because of the balk that wasn't called. He felt like the late rally that Louisiana Lafayette had in the 8th inning that allowed them to tie the game on Sunday should never have happened because of a runner's interference play against Cash Kalkowski that wasn't called. And these seem to be valid things from my conversations with people who were in the ballpark that, you know, maybe a couple of calls were botched. You know, that can happen. When you go on the road to an unfamiliar place, in a place like Lafayette, Louisiana, you know, these are local guys working the games, and you can expect for things to go against you. And I think Nebraska went into it knowing that they had to win. They really had to earn these games if they were going to win them, and they won two of the four. You know, the tie is a very strange thing in college baseball, and I think everybody wishes that you know, that wouldn't even happen. I can kind of look at that game like it didn't even exist. But everything else considered, I think these guys showed some heart. They were down in every game and came back to take the lead. They showed some early season fortitude, and it looks like they're going to be fighters this year. You know, they're not overly talented. They don't have great prospects on the mound or at the plate, but they're very young and they seem to want to fight this thing. So I think we're going to see competitive baseball throughout the year, and that should be fun to watch.
Mitch, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll look forward to catching up with you here in the near future.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, touching on all the Husker football news of the week, and of course, also a little bit of baseball. By the way, Daddy, a slight increase we mentioned last week in the Husker ticket prices, a couple dollars a game, and since there's one less game, it'll look like it's cheaper, but it's not. It's actually but they're putting up two more Husker Vision screens at Memorial Stadium.
So that does.
You got five. You got the big one, and you got one on every corner.
So $2 a God, those are expensive screens.
See how they are.
You know, when you're talking 85,000 times, too.
They're actually bigger than your head.
Thanks, Matt Davidson.
Hey, it's time now for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible at 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. And with this week's trivia question, we talk Big 12 basketball with Big Daddy.
All right, this is interesting because did you know Blake Griffin has scored 21.9 points per game in the Big 12? That only ties him with one other player. He's not the leading scorer in the league. He is tied with one other player. Who is that other player in Big 12 scoring?
Now, again, there are two players in the Big 12 that lead the conference in scoring at 21.9 a game. One is Blake Griffin. Who is the other? Back after this.
It's that same satisfaction you got from pulling the arm off a Cabbage Patch doll.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, good times. The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hello, this is Jimmy Rollins, baseball's Nostradamus. I predicted my Phillies would go all the way. And now, I'll read your athletic future. First thing, I see you going into a Dick's Sporting Goods. And you're getting my favorite cleat, the Nike Swingman Remix. I see you practicing your fielding, hitting, and base running. Then I see the pennant in your hands. Wait, it's in my hands. I'm in a ticket tape parade down Market Street. I have soft pretzels, cheese
steaks. Get the Nike Air Swingman Remix cleats at Dick's Sporting Goods. Better athlete, better team.
TurboTax presents a message from Andrew Jackson.
To end up on the $20 bill, you know I must have been smart. So you'd be smart to listen when I say use TurboTax. See, TurboTax has a deduction maximizer that automatically looks through over 350 deductions, making it easy to get the maximum refund you're entitled to. Oh, and just between you and me, not only am I smart, but I'm very handsome.
TurboTax. Choose easy. Get started at TurboTax.com. Deduction maximizer included in Deluxe Premier and Home and Business.
Hi, I'm Jeff Benjamin of Benjamin's Landscaping in Holdridge and Kearney. I understand that money is tight for everyone, so we want to help you by lowering our 2009 lawn care prices. We can treat a 6,500 square foot lawn for just under $200, and this includes grub control. That's right, we will treat your lawn four times throughout the season for less than $200. Give us a call today and we will give you a free estimate. Keeping your lawn beautiful is our business. We're Benjamin's Landscaping in Holdridge and Kearney.
In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yeehaw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you drove down 25th Street in Kearney 20 years ago, you'd see a lot of things you wouldn't even recognize, except for that one place on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Well, even back then, when you were in need of a quality used car or truck, you knew you could always count on Molly's. Today, you can count on a great deal on this 2003 V6 automatic Chevy Silverado for only $59.95. Yes, sir, Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. Good to know.
We'll see partly to mostly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature of around 63. Winds will also stay variable from 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies at a low at 31, and highs rebound back near 60 Wednesday with a mix of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley. Right now, 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, who is tied with Blake Griffin of Oklahoma for the Big 12 scoring lead at 21.9 points a game. Daddy, the answer is?
Craig Brackens, Iowa State.
Why do they stink, then? Craig Brackens. Who's our winner there, Derek?
Terry from Hastings knew it.
All right. Congratulations, Terry. A $25 gift card to Troutman's. Carney, congratulations to Terry, and we've got more tomorrow on the show. We're going to be giving away Royal Lipizzaner tickets, world-famous Lipizzaner. They're not royal anymore. They're just average horses, I guess. I don't know. Also, we'll let you know who we think is going to win in the Accenture match play. I don't know what Tony's going to do. Probably take Tiger or knock him out in the first round, like I said. Also, coming up on the program tomorrow, scheduled to be joined by ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi to discuss what's going on in the world of college basketball. Right now, only four Big 12 teams in. Is that fair? We'll talk to him about that. Tri-City Stormer at home tonight. Boys sub-district basketball all over the airwaves. Girls district basketball begins tonight. St. Cecilia boys are on ESPN 1550. Kearney Catholic boys and Kearney High girls, along with Grand Island, as they play each other, are on ESPN 1460. Action from Kearney on Power 99. Action from St. Cecilia on the Breeze.
Ravenna Loop City, Doug, who you got?
I got the winner. Hey, we want to thank Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald for joining us today. Gene Beerbohm with the National Wild Turkey Federation. We'll see you tomorrow.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.